Hello, friends. Guess what? We're having our super special September sale on Sleep Tight Premium through Supercast, and it ends this month. It's the perfect way to help you and your grown-ups ease back into the school year and make bedtime even more special for the whole family. With Sleep Tight Premium, you'll get ad-free episodes, extra stories each month, and for annual subscribers, a personalized birthday message from me. Plus, you'll unlock over 500 stories not available anywhere else, all while supporting the stories your family loves. Don't miss out. It's only for this month. Join us for more dreamy nights. Sign up at the link in our show notes or visit sleeptight.supercast.com. The Rat King by Patty Larson. Susan is trying to be brave and forget about the rats. After Tucker visited and she told him about her dreams, she is certain that if something was wrong, he would have told her. When her mom mentions needing an exterminator, Susan decides it's time to check things out for herself and see what is going on. The Rat King, Chapter 6. "I think we need to call an exterminator," Mom said, dishing up a scoop of potatoes for Dad while Susan held out her own plate for her share. "What for?" Dad smiled at Susan, the salad forks full of leafy greens that made her nose wrinkle. Grown-ups were so obsessed with eating grass for some reason, and she'd never understand it. The late afternoon sun caught on the lenses of his glasses, making Susan blink. Mom hesitated, raising an eyebrow at him. Dad hesitated before turning to Susan with that same kind smile on his long, narrow face, tilting his head down so he could look at her over the dark rim of his glasses. "Honey," he said, "can you run to the kitchen and get the salad dressing?" She glanced at the bottle right there in front of him, but he wasn't done. "The ranch. This is Caesar." She went immediately, of course, because Dad asked, though she knew well enough he'd only sent her then and there so Mom could tell him what was on her mind without Susan in the room. They thought they were good at hiding things from her, forgetting she was 10 and not a baby anymore. Susan considered grabbing the dressing bottle from the refrigerator first and then hurrying back to the dining room door to listen in. But her sock feet, silent on the old wood floor, meant if she held her breath as soon as she left their sight, they'd never know she was there. "I didn't want to upset Susan," Mom said in a low voice full of worry, "but I thought I saw a rat in the basement." Susan gasped to herself, both hands covering her mouth. "Do you think that's where her nightmares came from?" "We'll take care of it right away," Dad said. "If she did see one down there, if that's why she's having bad dreams, it's easy enough to fix." He sounded relieved. Susan knew they were worried about her, but they had no idea. She turned and slowly faced the kitchen, appetite now gone, stomach hurting, and nervousness renewed as her nightly bad dreams came rushing back. Maybe it was the magic of the city that kept her from thinking about them so much, or perhaps she was braver than she thought. But for whatever reason, Her mother's sighting erased any ability Susan had to hide from her fear. She'd been so sure the cats would take care of things, had left it to them. But didn't she know better? Hadn't it been the cats themselves who'd refused to believe anything was wrong in the first place? It had taken her and Tucker uncovering the plot by the rats against the city, and two traitor cats, don't forget them, that forced the council to finally pay attention. For all Susan knew, they had no idea the threat she'd helped save them from wasn't done yet. Suddenly, the dreams she'd been having weren't just dreams to her anymore. Susan sat in a kitchen chair, knees shaking. When she'd woken in Cat City, she'd been able to understand Tucker and his people, speak to them and they to her. All because that rat had bitten her, tied her to magic. She knew she was still connected to that magic, but the cats said she would never have access to it outside Cat City. Even though she'd had her power woken by the statue she loved, by the gate itself, human magic, she was told, was only controlled by those who had abandoned them centuries ago. Were they wrong? Were the nightmares somehow connected to that same magic? Were her bad dreams proof she had access to her power after all? No, it couldn't be true. She'd spent enough time with Tucker since then that if she'd been able to understand him, it would be obvious. And she couldn't feel the magic that she carried in the city. Not at all. But wait. She had to be honest with herself. She hadn't even tried to use it, had she? She believed what the cats told her. Maybe Tucker hadn't attempted to talk to her either for the same reason. Susan huffed a breath of frustration, surprised she was no longer afraid, but angry. Her shoulders stiffened as she realized the anxiety and nervousness that she'd been living with had nothing to do with the nightmares. It was all the helpless feeling she'd been fighting, knowing that no matter what she wanted, the cats didn't want or need her help. "Susan," Dad's voice sounded worried. "Coming." Whoops. She stood quickly and retrieved the dressing, pausing before going back into the dining room. One thing was certain. The cats might have their own ideas, but the rats weren't done with her. They were in the woods. She was sure of it. "Nope," she told herself. "They are in the house, and there's only one reason for that. They were here for her." That should have made her afraid. Instead, it only made her more determined as she forced a smile and delivered what she'd been sent for, silently eating her dinner with her thoughts on one thing only. She had to tell Tucker. It wasn't until she had helped Mom and Dad clear the table and dried the dishes her father handed to her one at a time while her mother packed the leftovers for lunches, that Susan realized she didn't have a lot of proof to offer her furry friend. If anything, she had guesses, and Mom's word for it. Susan lingered in the kitchen when her parents went to the living room to watch television, hesitating by the wooden door leading to the basement. The last time, the cats wanted proof, she thought. "If I want them to believe me, I have to be able to show them the rats are back." What kind of proof she'd find, she had no idea. But the more she thought about it, the more certain she was. The basement door creaked softly on old hinges as she gently pushed on it. But someone had fixed the handle, a new latch in place. Mom's worry about the rats must have prompted her to do something to finally fix the door. Susan pushed down on the handle, the new mechanism silent as she did. Darkness below had her inhaling slowly and shakily, the musty air stirring to rise toward her. She reached up and over, the light switch making a sharp clicking sound, the single bulb over the top of the steps barely illuminating the way down. Susan swallowed hard, not so sure about this decision anymore. But when the sound of footsteps drew near, Dad's heavy approach choosing for her, she ducked through the door and closed it behind her. Hearing the latch click shut as she did, panic was almost her undoing. She hung onto the handle as she heard Dad make his way through the kitchen and out again. Enough control over her fear that she was able to keep herself together until he was gone before she pushed down. But the door wouldn't open. The latch had locked itself from the outside. Susan gaped at it, wriggling it as hard as she could, but it was no use. She had to either call out for help or do what she came here to do. Susan spun slowly on her sock feet and stared down into the gloomy basement, jaw setting as she nodded to herself. No turning back now. If she called out, if Mom or Dad came running, they'd ask questions she didn't want to answer, couldn't answer, and Mom would make a big deal out of it. Susan would never get the chance to look for evidence if they caught her at it. With no reason to go down to the damp, clay-floored space she'd only been in once, and Mom's fresh concern about the pests she said she'd spotted, this was Susan's only chance to see if her mother was right. If she was right, and the rats really were here for her, fine, she thought, sounding brave to herself even if she didn't feel it. Just a quick look, then I'll get Mom to rescue me. The first step was the hardest, but it decided everything. Her wobbly descent begun. Her sock caught on the second step, a splinter of wood tugging at the tight weave and tripping her a little. She hissed as she grasped at the beam beside her, the open staircase making her nervous, even if she wasn't descending to darkness and uncertainty. She suddenly wished she'd waited for Tucker. Exhaling a shaking breath into the damp air, holding tight to the wobbly railing all the way down to the last step. Two large square tiles had been placed on the ground, the rest of the basement floor pale gray dirt. Without shoes, she'd ruin her white socks, but there wasn't much she could do about that. It wasn't as if she'd thought this through or anything, was it? A second light bulb glowed with flickering yellow in the center of the space, but like her nightlight, barely pushed back the shadows. The small window at the far end of the masonry foundation had been blocked in with plywood, the glass broken some time before they moved in, but the panel itself askew. A little bit of light made it through, just enough she didn't run into anything as she stopped and looked around. Susan paused on the tiles, one foot covering the other, hesitating to step out onto the clay. When she finally did, she immediately flinched at the cold dampness spreading through her sock. The sensation had her scowling and distracted. Ew! Susan shook her head at herself. I'm being silly, she said out loud. There's nothing here. It's just a basement. And to prove it to herself, bravely, firmly held close to her, she stepped out into the middle of the room. Just as the light bulb flashed and popped, going dark. And something squeaked in the far corner. Susan froze in place, heartbeat thudding, breath catching, her hands in little fists at her sides. It could just be an ordinary rat, her mind stuttered to her. Not one of those, you know. Don't panic. Except she knew better. And when the red eyes blinked open, pinpoints in the darkness that swallowed her, Susan's panic hugged her tight. Not just one set of eyes, either. Many. So many. Flooding the black with glittering threat. "We've been waiting for you," one of them said. "Thuthen." "Thuthen," they all echoed. "Come with us. He wants to see you," a single voice said. "The king," they all squeaked. "The king will see you now." She tried to back up, not thinking, without any control over her actions. Her body reacted on its own, forcing her to retreat as panic won. Perhaps if she'd kept her head, if the memory of her nightmares hadn't decided then and there to surface and remind her of how afraid she'd been, she could have escaped. Instead, fear tried to make her back up, while also turning her toward the only light source that wasn't the rats. Those two movements didn't go together very well. Susan stumbled, tripping over her wet socks, toes stubbing on the damp ground. But she made it to the bottom step, a miracle, falling forward, hands clutching her before she landed on the wooden stairs. Susan dragged herself, scrambling and panting, up the flight toward the door. The sound of rats chasing her, pulling everything back into panicked, slow motion. She simply couldn't move fast enough, like she dragged her arms and legs and body through thick taffy while they scampered at twice her speed. She had no idea how she reached the door at the top of the stairs first, but she did. A surge of relief and triumph racing through her. Sweating palm sliding over the handle as she jerked on it to pull it open and run to freedom. Because surely the rats wouldn't chase her into the house. But she'd forgotten in her fear, in her terror-stricken flight, one little detail that had her gaping at the door and the handle that would not budge. "Locked," she whispered in a faint wail that might have carried to Mom and Dad if the sudden sound of the TV turning on in the living room didn't cut her off. Susan heard their little paws ticking on the steps and turned slightly to breathe, to think, shaking all over as she looked down, into so many red eyes watching her, very still. That same panic that kept her moving meant she couldn't even scream. The nightmare wasn't a dream. It was a premonition. She had one last second before they swarmed toward her in an instant and pulled her into the darkness. And that is the end of this part. Good night. Sleep tight.